Airplane Intel Podcast Episode 14. Today, we're talking all about private jets with Tom Wachowski of the Private Jet Podcast. We'll discuss all the variables that go into private jet ownership, from planning, acquisition, cost control, maintenance, and more. Plus, general aviation news, fuel prices, and Don's tip of the week about the best ways to source aircraft parts. Welcome to the Airplane Intel Podcast, the show for aircraft owners, pilots, and mechanics. It's our goal to save you money and make your flying safer so you can get the most out of your airplane. Who are we? We're the Pre-Buy Guys. We have over 60 years combined experience flying, maintaining, and managing all types of aircraft. We will share practical advice, strategies, and tips to help make aircraft ownership simple, safe, and cost-effective. So, stay tuned. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Airplane Intel Podcast. We're real excited to be back with you today, and of course we appreciate you joining us as well. I'm Adam, and with me is my co-host Don. Hey Don, how you doing?
Welcome back. Well, today's episode is going to be about a private jet, whether for business or personal use. And we're going to cover a wide range of them, from $350,000 all the way up to over $100 million. Yeah, we're gonna let you know what the world is out there for people who need travel in that very safe jet airplane. And icing, no problem. Go right through it with your private jet. So whether you're an existing airplane owner that maybe knows some companies that need a private jet, or maybe you're a company that can't quite afford a private jet and maybe you could share with other companies that you know in the same area, and two or three of you have the same private jet, things get a lot more reasonable. So stay tuned now, and oh, by the way, in order to really see what this is all about, you're going to have to click on our show notes. Get out your tablet or smartphone or whatever. YouTube, get on TV, on your TV, and check out these private jets.
That's right, Don. We've got about, I think, 11 videos and all kinds of other useful links on the show notes for this episode, number 14. Everything from the Citation 500 to the Falcon 2000, all the way up to the Boeing business jet. And we've also got some other great resources there about fractional jet ownership, managing maintenance, aircraft cost software, and private jets for small business. And of course, you can access the show notes for this episode and also find all the ways to get in touch with us by visiting airplaneintelpodcast.com and clicking on the Access 014 link. And if you're listening to this from a smart device or YouTube, there's a link in the description that'll take you straight there. And a little later, we've got a great interview with Tom Wachowski of the Private Jet Podcast. And that's something I'm really excited about. And I think we're all going to learn a heck of a lot from him as well. And speaking of interviews, we've got some great interviews coming up, some more great interviews with Dispatcher Mike and David Phil, both aviation professionals and podcasters, as well as aircraft owners. So stand by for that. We're going to get a lot of great insights from them. And next week, we're airing our interview with Max Trescott from the Airplane Geeks and Aviation News Talk podcast. And we're going to be discussing glass cockpits in the Cirrus SR-22 aircraft. So lots of fun and interesting stuff coming up. But today, we're talking about jets. But first, the news. All right, we'll kick off the news segment with some fuel prices, courtesy of airnav.com. And because we're talking about jets today, let's take a look at some Jet A prices. And by the way, I thought you might be interested to know that the United States is the largest user of jet fuels, attributing to about 39% of the total share, according to the International Air Transportation Association. And right now in the U.S., the national average for Jet A is $4.19, with the lowest price found in the Northwest Mountain region at just $2.15. Now, overall, I would say that jet fuel prices have been pretty steady around the country over the last month or so, but we'll definitely keep an eye on them for you and let you know of any major changes. So, Don, did you have some news for us today?
Well, Adam, I do have some news for you. Yes, the news this week is no plane, no gain. Guess you heard that before from the National Business Aircraft Association, and it's so true. I mean, when you got to get there, you need that airplane sitting on your ramp, ready to go. Okay, so what's also some more news? Yeah, that's when it comes to building airplanes, they're getting into virtual reality. Yeah, that's right. You put on that device and you look at every part of the airplane from an insider's view, and you change the design. And oh, this is of interest, I would imagine, to most of our listeners that are airframe and power plant mechanics out there. You know, A&P guys, the FAA still calls them mechanics, but they're actually aircraft maintenance technicians, AMTs. So you hear that, because overseas they're called engineers, and same people, but it does elevate their title. So that's my news of the day, and you aircraft mechanics out there, check out our video about 3D virtual reality in designing airplanes. I think you'll find it interesting.
Thanks for that, Don, and I totally agree with you. I think that if you're a mechanic or a pilot or an enthusiast, you're really going to enjoy that video. The technology is just incredible, and I can't believe that it's being applied to aviation so soon to make, you know, aircraft designs better and aircraft maintenance better, and I'm sure it'll be applied into aircraft simulation and all kinds of other stuff. And if you want to check out that video, which I think you should, you can do so under the General Aviation News links section in the show notes for this episode. And by the way, Don, I think that I would prefer to be called an engineer over a mechanic any day of the week, but maybe that's another story for another time. Well, anyway, without further ado, let's get into our discussion about private jet ownership and our interview with Tom.
Well, this episode is all about private jets in general. Yep, that magic carpet. It can take you 500 miles away, or it can take you to the other side of the world, depending on your needs and your finances. So, I have good news. We're in what I call a good cost cycle. Yeah, the value of these used jets, it hasn't been better since a long time, because in 2008, used jets were at their premium, and now they're at the lowest acquisition cost that I could ever remember. They have been declining since 2008, and I think we're at the bottom. I believe these jets have nowhere to go but up in value. Many light jets could be bought for the price of a single engine land airplane, like a Cirrus type airplane. The only obstacle is operating costs. Yep, it's not a cash outlay to start off with. Airline travel is such a hassle. Oh, and you're boarding a tube with 100 or more other people. It can be an experience you would rather avoid. Look at what happened on United Airlines passengers just a few weeks ago, dragged out of the plane, just because he was dedicated to the mission he was on. If you have the means, you can avoid the hassle of airline travel. That's what this episode is all about. How to manage your time, life experiences, profitability of your company, or just getting there without a hassle. So, do you need a jet? Well, if you're an individual with the ambition of becoming a jet pilot, the answer is yes. And if you're healthy and retired and have a community around you that likes the convenience of private travel, anytime, anywhere, the answer is yes. If you have a company or associated with investors that have a need to be on site, the to get the job done? The answer is yes. Or if you have the cash to invest in an asset that has the potential of earning a 40% profit over the next 3 years, in my opinion, the answer is yes. The fixed costs can be accurately calculated, but the operating costs could eliminate that anticipated return of capital unless you get the right jet investment. And that's where we come in. To help you sort through this endeavor, we have posted some helpful videos in the show notes, so check them out. The first one is about making up your mind. Should you charter, buy into a fractional ownership, or own a jet? I had customers that took my advice exclusively, and after flying in their airplane for over 4,000 hours, they sold their last airplane and realized a complete return on investment. That's right. They got back everything they paid for the purchase price of the airplane. The only expenditure they had was the fuel and pilot costs. How did this happen? Careful planning in a purchase environment that is like today. A comprehensive pre-buy, evaluating all the factors of long-term ownership of their airplane and the right airplane for their mission. Traded up as time went on, their travel needs changed. Do I need two pilots? Well, no, you don't. In some airplanes, like the Citation 501, which is a single pilot airplane, and the newer CJ, which stands for Citation Jet Series, they are crewed by a single pilot. Well, you could take along a young pilot building time in the co-pilot seat. And as long as he has a multi-engine rating and an instrument rating, in most cases, because you're going to go up over 18,000 feet, there's a lot of young people out there that would just love to come along with you and might be helpful in your company. My owners could handle the jet after just 10 flight hours. Yep, I had retired owners that never got into flying, or maybe their health was so bad they had medical problems where they wouldn't pass their physical. And yet, after we've taken sometimes as many as 10 trips, sometimes even as few as 5 trips, they were flying the airplane, and because I was up there with them, and they could handle the whole thing. I had one owner, he made out his IFR flight plan, and I filed it. He handled the flight from takeoff to touchdown. So let's talk about some of these planes. I guess the entry level would be the Cessna Citation 500 series. There's 32 of them for sale in one publication, which is called the Controller. So let's see. There's a 1976 500 SP, single pilot. LW, it has a long wing. In other words, it's been modified, and that's available in Kansas, $250,000. Well, why is it so cheap? Well, the engines only have 40 hours left before you have to overhaul them. And the Phase 5 inspection, which is a pretty big inspection, it costs about $22,000 in labor. And so you could figure maybe $500,000 total between all the repairs and everything. And that's due in 2 months from now. But the pre-buy will tell. And we'd have to probably shop around for exchange engines in 40 hours from now. And it'll be a good candidate to update to the Rolls-Royce Williams engines. And paint and interior was in 2001, and so it doesn't meet, and the avionics doesn't meet the update required in 2020. And that'll add on some money. But we got to calculate all that stuff. So let's look at another one. There is a 1975 500 Citation, which is called an Eagle. It has more fuel in the wings. And that's in Virginia. And that's $950,000. But it's got them Williams engines and is under what they call the TAP program, which really helps out on the overhaul costs and pay the way along the line. And the aircraft is on something called CESCOM, which is a computerized tracking system tailor-made for that airplane. And it makes a guy like me very happy when I see that, because I could look into all those different parts over the years of that airplane, and I could quickly see when the inspections are due. Of course, then I have to recheck the actual physical logbook entries to make sure all that information is accurate. And you know what they say, garbage in, garbage out with computers. But the engines are on this TAP Elite program, which is really good. And it has a fresh phrase 1 through 5. When you're buying the airplane, they're going to do it. And that's good, because that gives me a more in-depth inspection of places that are hard to get to. And a lot of these citations have a beefed up landing gear, and which gives them an additional 500 pounds of gross weight for takeoff. So this could take off at 12,500 pounds instead of 12,000 pounds. And the empty weight on this airplane is 7,825 pounds. So we could quickly calculate with the fuel load how many passengers you could put on that airplane. But the good news is, with that Williams engines and the modifications on this airplane, it'll go 400 knots. And that's a lot faster than the standard citation 500. And it can go 1,900 nautical miles in range. Wow, that's pretty far. That's because of the Eagle mod, the beefier wings with more fuel in them. So this airplane is pretty well equipped. The avionics were upgraded with the newest Garmin Global Navigation System 530W, and Freon air conditioning, which complements the air cycle machine and makes it a lot cooler on the ground. And it has a little bit modified aft baggage modification to help you get that luggage in the pressurized area in the back of the airplane. And it sounds like a pretty much turnkey airplane with the upgrades. So let's see. The owner says he's motivated to sell, and we'll consider a lease or a purchase agreement. Wow, that's something. Lots of good numbers here. So if your mission spans half the continent and only a few guests with that kind of range, this might be something to look into. Well, then we have this other Citation CJ series. CJ Citation Jet Series. These are newer airplanes, single pilot certified with the Williams engine in it. They have a better range that go further, and they start selling for about $995,000, and the newer ones are a few million dollars more than that. Most newer CJs don't list their asking price, but there is 32 of them for sale in the controller. So let's talk about a mid-sized jet. The Citation 3, Citation 6, and Citation 7, they're all the same size, just newer airplanes with better features. So what happened to Citation 4 and 5? We kind of skipped some numbers here. Well, the Citation 5 is, and also it's called the Ultra with the newer models, and that's got a larger fuselage than the 500 series. Of course, more powerful engines, it's faster, you can carry more payload. Yeah, but it's not quite as big jet feeling as these other Citations. Well, they didn't make a Citation 4, so we skipped over that one. So let's talk about some other jets. Let's talk about the British Hawker 700 for less than $1 million. Well, about a month ago we covered that airplane pretty well, so you might want to go back to our prior episode and listen more about the Hawker 700. And then the Hawker 800, and that's a big step up. It looks like the same airplane, but it's not. So add another $1 million for a used one. Then we have those jets that cross the oceans. Yep, Bombardier Challenger. The Bombardier Challenger has two very popular series in used jets called the 604 and the 605. And I did a pre-buy on the CL300, which is another popular Bombardier. And they range between is about $6.5 million. And the 605 that I did in the past year, they right now they range between $10 million and $17 million. But these are global jets. They'll take you across those oceans and in comfort, right, with a full crew and also all the staff you need. So let's talk about a Fortune 500 company. This pilot is going to give us a really good interview during this episode. He actually is operating the Dassault Falcon 2000 series aircraft and a new one for this Fortune 50 company. So the top of the line are made by Boeing and Airbus. Boeing calls it a BBJ, a Boeing business jet, and they are actually a Boeing 737 airliner, which most people in the world fly on today, and they're highly converted to with all the creature features one needs for an airborne office. There's many for sale without a price, of course. You're going to have to give them a call and find out. There's one out there advertising for $24.5 million. These jets will fly you halfway around the world in your private bedroom, and most of the staff in comfort with meals served. Airbus Corporate Jets, ACJ, they are mostly inquiry only after you show your credentials. And then you have the used airliners. Most of them haven't been converted, and right now the most reasonable type is the four-engined Airbus 340. Yeah, they're a bargain, but you're going to have to convert it, the cabin, and probably your own custom paint. And so that's going to cost a lot of money, but then you'll have something personalized, one of a kind. But they do burn a lot more fuel because they have four engines. Most are still in airline configuration. There's even a few, oh boy, A380 VIP configured aircraft out there. Yeah, of course, if you're a head of a state, you might need one of those. So check out our videos in our show notes, and give us a call. We'll talk over what's involved with these corporate jets, what the expenses are, and we could even research or help you research the market and make a comparison sheet. Try to and actually find the plane that suits you the best, considering what your budget is of your company.
Well, Don, thank you so much for your insights. Really appreciate it. And I think you hit the nail on the head there. Aircraft prices, particularly with jets, are at an all-time low, and it's a great time to buy. We're in a buyer's market for jet aircraft, and that's not going to last forever. So if you are considering purchasing a jet aircraft, now is definitely the time. And I really think that jet aircraft are actually a lot more affordable and accessible than most people realize. Obviously, there's different ownership structures you can have, different ownership options you can have, from fractional to full ownership, etc. And when you think about the prices of these aircraft, and you think about other things such as inspection status and ADS-B compliance and so on, it would actually make the aircraft acquisition a lot less expensive already from the lower prices that we're seeing now. So I think that it's something that is worth checking into and looking into, because it's not just, you know, what is the airplane going to cost? It's going to be, what is the airplane going to bring our company or me as a person? What value am I going to get out of the aircraft? And I think that that is where you're going to see the cost benefit really in your favor. And when you start looking at the myriad of different aircraft available, there are a lot of options out there, and it can be definitely overwhelming. And, you know, that's why we're doing this podcast, and that's why we're available to help you in any way that we can to make the process as easy as possible. So anyway, hey, with that, I'm really excited to get to this interview with Tom. So let's do that now. Today, we're speaking with Tom Wachowski from the Private Jet Podcast, conversations that reduce risk and increase value in business and private aviation. Aside from being a well-known podcaster, Tom is an aviation professional, including nearly two decades in aviation with the airlines, charter, and corporate flight operations. Today, he flies the Falcon 2000. Hey, Tom, thanks for being with us today.
Well, thanks for having me on the show, guys. It's, you know, I listen to your podcast. It's really great to be able to participate and talk to you today about this business aviation thing.
Well, Tom, hey, this is Don. I'm on here with you, too. Hey, Tom, you had quite a career so far. Could you give us a little description of the airplanes you started flying and what you're in now?
Yeah, sure. So I came up through the ranks in, you know, small aircraft and taught for a while. And the first kind of business, or not even business, but, you know, I would call it real airplane that you can actually make some money with, was an airliner, a CRJ, or actually a Dornier 328 jet. I was flying that on the East Coast, which morphed into flying a CRJ, and that was all regional flying for about 5 years. And I would always taxi by in Dulles. If anyone listening is familiar, there's the Signature FBO there. We would always taxi by Signature, heading out to 19, and there'd be all these business jets lined up there. And I thought, boy, that looks really cool. I'll never get to do that. I'm an airline guy. That's the path. Once you're in a regional, you go to a major, you retire, and that's the end of that. But that sure would be fun. Well, the regional went out of business, and that was my opportunity. So I jumped, once I was laid off, started flying. My first business jet was a Lear 45, actually a Lear 40, and then a Lear 45 XR on charter. Flew that for a couple of years, about 750 hours, and actually for a year and a half. And got a lucky break to go fly a Challenger 604 for a family, which was an absolute ball. That changed into a Challenger 601, and I left the family flying shortly thereafter to go fly for a Fortune 500 company out west, flying the Challenger 604 and the Falcon 2000, what today they call the Falcon 2000 Classic. Private equity came in, bought that company, got rid of the flight department, and ended up moving to a Fortune 50 company flying the Falcon 2000 Classic, which has now become the Falcon 2000 LXS. And there's been a sprinkling of Gulfstream activity in there, but that's been the progression of airframes.
Wow, that you've had quite a career. Now, we're going to have in our show notes your Dassault Falcon 2000, at least not the one you're flying, but it almost looks identical. And the reason we put it in our show notes is to let our listeners know just what kind of airplane we're talking about. And so when they go over to Airplane Intel podcast show notes on our website, they will find a lot of videos, and the first video will be this November 9025 Alpha Kilo. And tell me the difference now between what you're flying today and how old is this one? Because the one on that I have for sale on the video isn't for sale anymore, obviously. It's an old video probably. But tell me the difference between that airplane and your airplane, because they look identical.
Yeah, they do look identical. And, you know, this is something for people who are looking to charter or lease or buy a share or even buy outright an airplane is, you know, you must judge a book by its cover when it comes to airplanes. And so that airplane, then the video, that's a Falcon 2000, what today they call the Classic, which simply means they don't make it anymore. And the new version of that, which you'll see out in the marketplace, is called the Falcon 2000S. Or EX, or LX, or LXS. And they're essentially the same airplane that goes down the assembly line. And then they just start adding some bells and whistles to the thing. So the airplane in the video is a Classic, which means essentially the main difference is that it has old avionics. And by old, I mean it is up against some avionics mandates that you know, you will be required to make upgrades to those avionics to fly that airplane soon.
It
has,
right.
In 2020 is the big one with ADS. Yep. It has Honeywell engines, older Honeywell, less powerful engines on that Falcon 2000 Classic. You know, they were great when they designed the thing, but today we've made so much progress in jet engine technology that they're just old and they don't produce much power compared to the new Falcons. And the third factor that differentiates a Classic from the newer, especially the LXS, the one I fly in the Falcon 2000S, is the old Falcon has leading edge slats that span about two-thirds of the wing. The new Falcon 2000S and LXS have leading edge slats that span the entire surface of the leading edge of the wing. So what that essentially means is slower speeds on takeoff and landing. And for those, you know, listening who are getting into aviation, slower is better for takeoff and landing. It slows things down, which essentially equates to safety.
Right. More airports. You can go into more airports.
That's exactly right.
You could be 5 minutes away from the business you're going to visit or the vacation resort you're going to, rather than go to the big city and have to travel for an hour or so, or maybe a couple hours.
Yeah, and that's a big deal, because some of these airplanes, some of the competitor airplanes out there, for example, with the slats, they come in faster, therefore they need more runway, therefore you may eliminate some options out there when you want to get close to a sales prospect or a family member.
Well, give us a little perspective here about between your airplane and this older airplane as far as speeds and distances and payload.
Yeah, that's a good question. So the old Falcon 2000 Classic, and I'm going to give very round numbers. I just make it easy on everybody.
Right. Yeah, sure, that's fine.
Yep, that Falcon 2000 Classic, it would hold about 12,000 pounds of gas, which meant the thing could go about 3,000 to 3,500 miles, just kind of sort of depending on winds and temperatures and where you're departing from and those sorts of things. The new Falcon 2000 LXS can do about 4,200 miles, depending on weather conditions that specific day. But essentially the takeaway is you get a lot more range out of that new airplane. So that's one major difference, is how much fuel the two of them can hold. The other major difference between them is the avionics. So that old Falcon 2000 Classic has a Collins avionics system, and it's great. It's just dated. It just was designed a long time ago, before they came up with a lot of the requirements for what's termed the next generation ATC system. So while it's a great system, it just simply is, it's behind on the calendar. Now, there are updates and upgrades you can do to that system, and a lot of people do that. They'll buy one of these 2000 Classics for, $4 to $6 million, knowing they're going to have to spend $250,000, $500,000 to upgrade it. But, if that plane fits your mission and you spend, say $5 million with the extra cash thrown in for upgrades, that's a heck of a lot cheaper than a new plane. So different strokes for different folks. Now,
so what's a new one cost?
Yeah, the new one is equipped with not only more fuel, but what they call the EZ2, the Honeywell Easy avionics system. So it's got all those upgrades and updates that you need to pretty much go anywhere in the world. However, that comes at a price, Don, as you pointed out. So, and Falcon's real smart. They've taken that 2000 airframe and they've positioned it for a couple of different price points / markets. So the Falcon 2000S is kind of their base Falcon 2000 model today, the brand kind of new version. Now, don't quote me on these numbers. I have no sales data. I am not a salesman. I am guessing, but I think my guess is close enough to start the conversation. The S is probably starting around $28 million. Now, when you load the thing up and you get all the bells and whistles all the way up through the LXS for the 2000 model, you're looking probably around $32, $33, somewhere in there, just kind of depending how you load it up. So, that's a delta of, say $4 to $6 million, just, thumb in the air, round numbers speaking.
Right, yeah.
Compared to this, to a classic that you could pick up for just, say, $5 million, and spend a little bit of money. Again, different strokes for different folks. And this is where it's so critical for somebody, again, looking to buy to charter, to buy a share, to lease, or to buy the thing outright, that you get into these nitty-gritty details, into the weeds, so you buy the right plane or you charter the right machine.
Right, yeah. Boy, now what about the operating costs between more or less your plane and that older Falcon? Do you save a lot of money?
That's a good question. So I would say the best answer to that is to go to a publication, which you guys are probably familiar with, called the Business and Commercial, BCA magazine.
Right.
And
right.
Once a year, they publish numbers for all these planes. And you can get a real general cost comparison between the two. I don't have a specific number on each one. And the reason I don't is because it depends how you operate the thing. So if you're running it on charter, your net cost at the end of the year might possibly could be less per hour than somebody who is not running the airplane on charter net cost at the end of the year. Did you finance? What's the residual value going to be on a classic, an older Falcon versus a newer Falcon? At the end of the day, that nets into your hourly cost at the end of the year. So,
and that's a big number.
It's a huge number, right? So, by the way, how are you depreciating the thing? I mean, there's just a, and that's why you got to get, you know, with a somebody who knows all about costs and has a very easy mechanism to input all the different data points to figure out, hey, what would this thing cost me? Now, that being said, stick your thumb in the air, round number, you're probably going to be around $3,500, you know, plus or minus per hour to run that thing from A to B. That would be your direct operating cost. That's not including your hangar. That's not including, you know, ongoing maintenance. That's not including, hey, we just broke a fan blade on the motor. You know, that's not including, right. It may or may not include insurance programs on the motor. So, but if you start at $3,500, if you balk at that, walk away. It only goes up from there.
Right. So fuel efficiency between the newer engines. Would you have any comments about that?
Yeah, that's actually a very interesting one. You would sure think the newer motors would be a little bit more fuel efficient. And I will just tell you, I'm picturing in my head the fuel flow meters flying both airplanes, essentially the same. So on that classic, you know, we'd cruise at 41,000, 43,000, and we were burning right around 790 to 850, 890 pounds per side times two cruising along. The new Falcon that we fly, that I fly, the LXS, it's essentially the same. I'm getting about the same airspeed. I'm burning about the same amount of gas, maybe 5% less. But for all intents and purposes, again, round numbers, sticking my thumb in the air, it's essentially the same. But you know what you're getting in terms of, while that may be the same, you're getting some of those other things like the avionics, the leading edge slats, the interiors are all, you know, new BMW interior designs and a couple other bells and whistles. So fuel flow, you know, which essentially is how much it costs to run that thing just in gas and fill it up, not too much different on a per hour, per gallon basis.
Well, also you have reserves for the engines and the auxiliary power unit. Do you think that would be less because of the newer airplane? Or?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I cannot speak to the new airplane simply because I don't know. Currently, those programs, I'm just not familiar with them on the new airplane. I do know on the old airplane, I believe those were running 400 per side, and I'm just going off of meetings that were like 4 or 5 years ago, so don't quote me on these numbers. The problem with that old airplane, and this is something important for those looking to buy one of these, is that Honeywell motor on the Falcon 2000 Classic. It is a motor that just wasn't as successful as I think they had hoped. So because of that, there's not a lot of extra parts. There's not a lot of, you know, they don't necessarily pick up the phone every time you call for that motor. It's difficult to support that particular Honeywell engine on the Falcon 2000 Classics, and therefore it's more expensive to buy insurance on it.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
So, yeah, and I personally think that that motor will kill the Falcon 2000 Classic airframe. I think you will see, this is me speculating. I have no data on this or no super secret information here, but I watched the trend. You know, I've been on the Falcons, since 2008, and the trend has been on that Classic that it is just, you know, if you can imagine an aged individual in the hospital with a breathing machine and an IV in, that's the picture I build in my head when I think of the Falcon 2000 Classic. The thing's just being nursed along, and sooner or later, you're going to have to turn the life support off on that machine.
Oh, yeah. Well, with your experience over the years, you know, in different flight departments, have you found that, you know, people handle the maintenance and have different reserve spare parts? And could you give us a little general concept of that, what you experienced over the years? The more successful operators, how did they operate?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, that's really a philosophy thing. I have been at operators, and this would include, you know, the Lear, the Challenger, the Falcon, who had the philosophy that we stock nothing. When we need something, we call. And if that means the airplane's down, that means the airplane's down. We either don't fly or we get a charter plane. All the way up through, you know, we're a mini OEM, original equipment manufacturer, with a number of parts that we stock. And the difference is really in how do you want to tie up your money? You know, do you want cash sitting on the shelf in there, or do you want to use your cash in other strategic operations, like perhaps the business that the airplane supports? So I'm not sure there's a right or a wrong there, because as I've come up through the business side of aviation, one thing I've learned is that there's just different values for different operators. Different things are important or not important to different people. Often, not every time, but often there's no right or wrong answer. It's just kind of what they use the machine for, what their philosophies are about cash flow, leverage, risk, float, reliability of the machine, schedules. There's just a number of variables that go in there. So I don't think you could ever throw a dart in the middle of that target. You know, you're always kind of going to be on the edge of that target, because there's just no right answer with regard to a lot of these questions like stocking parts. I will say, you know, in the case of Falcon, I would venture to guess this is true of every manufacturer, but I don't really know. But Falcon says, hey, we know on this Falcon 2000, you know, the newer version airframe, this is what breaks. This is what we're having trouble with. So we recommend you kind of keep those parts handy, and or we've got a big stock of those parts and can overnight it to you if you need it. So they're helpful in support with regard to that. The experienced and smart operator will also know, track, monitor what breaks on their planes, or based on experience with similar airframes, know what the high failure items are and maybe consider stocking those, again, depending on cost. So, for example, tires. Yeah, we run over stuff on runways and tires get nicks, and you guys know when you get outside of a certain margin, you got to replace that tire. So a lot of guys stock tires, you know, certain valves. Some fail, some don't. So now you kind of go, okay, a valve is X amount of dollars. Do we want to stock it so we don't miss a trip, or do we just want to take the risk and overnight the thing and potentially miss a trip? Again, I think the takeaway when it comes to a lot of these things is, what is our goal? What is important to us? What do we value with regard to operating this asset? And then kind of go build a decision tree off that.
Yeah. Hey, I got a good story about that. I was doing helping out a 135 operator get some jets on his certificate. And they had a Learjet, and it took off. And a line guy said, you know, I thought I saw something coming off the tire. And he went out there in his pickup truck, and he put back a piece of metal. And sure enough, I said, that looks like part of the hub, the aluminum hub of the tire.
Oh, my gosh.
And so we called the airplane up and said he was going to fly for 3 hours. And we said, make a real soft landing on your left side. Favor the left landing gear. And so in the meantime, we got on the horn. And we found a built-up Learjet ready to go, a mounted tire and everything. And we drop-shipped it on an airline to his destination because he was on a charter. And he was returning the same day. And sure enough, you know, he made a beautiful landing. I don't know how the tire didn't go flat. But anyway, the tire, an hour later after he landed, mechanic put it on, signed it off, and people came back and they went home the same day. So sometimes it works out that way.
Yeah, that's a great success story. But what I'm hearing you say there is that it sounds like those conversations were had, and they had a policy and procedure in place should this instance happen. You know, what you don't want to do is not ever have that conversation. So when something like this happens, you go, oh my gosh, where do we begin?
Well, yeah, I happened to be there, and so I suggested, let's get with it, guys. Stop what you're doing. Drop everything. I really appreciate you interviewing me on your podcast, the Private Jet Podcast.
Episode that was
41.
Fun.
Yeah. So that we give some really good information there about what a pre-purchase inspection is and should be, and you know, all the things involved. And then your sponsor, what is it, Aircraft Cost Calculator?
Yep, the aircraft cost calculator. Yeah, very useful for the conversation we're having today.
Right. So you tune in, you get his service also before you decide what airplane you want to buy.
Yeah. No, it's important because at the end of the day, you know, somebody's got to write these checks.
Yeah, that's right.
And we've all heard the horror stories of, you know, what it ends up being is a misalignment between expectations. So a principal says in the back of his mind, he's thinking, oh, I'm going to spend, you know, $5 million. $20 million, $30 million, $70 million, depending on the airplane. I'm going to generally have to write a check every year for, you know, $2.5 million, say $6 million to run the thing. And when you vary from that, the delta is different for every owner. But if you vary on the plus side, they get upset, rightfully so. And the problem is not that you varied on the upside. The problem is that you never figured all that out in the beginning. You know, you never use the aircraft cost calculator. You never called Don and Adam to get the maintenance thing straight. It's so critical. I'm a big fan of Duran, the quality control guy. And he says, you know, quality is all about planning.
If
you don't plan this stuff, which is essentially just having some conversations with, you know, folks who are smart on these things like you guys, then no wonder you have problems down the road.
Yeah, that's right. And that's why when a pilot calls me, you know, he's looking to move up into a job with a jet and they have to have a jet in order for him to get that job, you know, and he's kind of concentrated on cosmetics and avionics. And I explained to him, I said, you know, basically, if this airplane the first year costs too much money because we didn't find this out ahead of time in the pre-purchase inspection, like that turbine wheel's expiring and they got to tear the engine apart to get to it. And you're going to lose your job the first or second year. So there's a lot of airplanes out there for sale. We'll pick one that'll give you good insurance to have a long term in your new job. So that's the way to think about it. You know, not I want a job tomorrow because we can buy this plane.
No, that's exactly right. And that requires, unfortunately, some very candid and tough conversations sometimes with principals. So you really got to ask yourself, am I willing to have those conversations? Am I willing to tell this guy some bad news, you know, and do I have that ability to have that relationship? Because it is a, let's face it, it is an employment sustainability thing.
That's right.
But even, you know, beyond that, one of the things I think that's really key that owners understand equally to us, you, me, and Adam, and folks in the business is that there is a fiduciary responsibility for the people who are advising and operating that aircraft to put that owner first. And that means you got to have the hard conversation. You got to have, look, I know you were looking to spend $4 million. This just broke. It's $400,000. You know, we need, is that something that you can handle? If I come to you and I say, hey, owner, I need a check for $400,000 because component X just broke, what will be your reaction, Mr. Owner? Will you have a heart attack or will you be like, no problem, we already talked about this, it might happen? It's a very key critical thing to understand that fiduciary responsibility.
That's right. And, you know, I look at it this way. I try to evaluate the airplane in my pre-purchase. We actually call it an investigation, right, Tom?
Yeah.
I try to evaluate it till the next major inspection. And sometimes we'll do some things prematurely before he buys it. And we're going to find squawks that we want to fix to make this plane continue without having to put the plane down for maintenance, non-routine maintenance. We want to get away from non-routine. We want that plane to fly to the next inspection without having to fix anything.
Yeah, right.
That's the goal.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. So, Tom, do you have any other information you'd like to share with us?
Well, I tell you, that Falcon 2000, you know, kind of what we've been talking about is a great machine, but there's a lot of great machines out there. You know, Dassault makes a great product in the Falcon, the 2000 up through the 900. They've got that 7X, that 8X coming out, the 5X maybe on the horizon. But so does Bombardier. They got a great product lineup. So does Gulfstream. They have an unbelievable product lineup. And, you know, so it's just really key, I think, that if you're going to write a check to participate in this game, just spend a little bit of time. You don't need to become an expert. You don't need to, you know, spend a career like, you know, the three of us have on this. But you do need to spend some time and talk to folks and listen to shows like this and spend some time with, you know, guys like yourselves on the maintenance to just kind of narrow down what makes sense to you. So you write the check at the right amount and you get what you expected out of the asset.
That's right, Tom. Well, Adam, are you ready to give us the facts about where we can reach Tom?
Sure. Well, actually, I was going to ask Tom, where can people find you, Tom?
You know, the easiest way is like you guys mentioned, the Private Jet Podcast, that website. There's a contact form on there. Or if you just want to email me directly, it's tom@privatejetpodcast.com.
Very good. And we'll put all that in the show notes and we'll link your podcast there as well. And well, Tom, I know I learned a lot from you, as I always do, listening to your show. So I really appreciate you being here with us and giving us the lowdown.
I appreciate you guys having me on. It's always fun to talk. I can talk business aviation. We can keep going. I can talk about this all day long. So I love talking about it, but mainly because, like you guys, you know, I think the three of us share something in common, and that is essentially a passion for this thing.
Absolutely.
You know, it's really neat. It's really fun. And so when we get to spend time together like this, talking and debating and considering and looking at all these variables, it's a lot of fun. So thanks for having me on to do that.
Yeah. Okay, Tom, have a good day. I appreciate the information you relayed to us.
Yeah, thank you, gentlemen. We'll talk to you again next time.
Thanks, Tom. See ya. It's time for the tip of the week.
Well, here's my tip of the episode again. Yes, this time, if you own a corporate jet or just about any airplane, this might apply to, and that's all about parts. Yep, you got to think about parts when you're down for maintenance. I could tell you a story or two. I was trying to work out a deal for a Citation stuck in California, and we had to use that maintenance facility there, and ahead of time, I went in and talked to the maintenance personnel about the work they had to do. And one of those AMTs said to me, "I'm not putting any part in this airplane unless it comes from Cessna." Well, that was kind of surprising. There's a lot of source outlets for parts. And I could see his reasoning, being an airframe and power plant mechanic myself. When it comes from Cessna, he knows it's a genuine part and there's no liability on his part, because the FAA kind of suggests that know your sources. So he doesn't want to get in trouble in the future if that part fails, though the safest way is to buy the most expensive part from Cessna. Okay, maybe that's the best way too, who knows. But anyway, there's a lot of vendors out there, and so, you know, you have to kind of talk to the maintenance shop ahead of time and say, you know, if I need that $10,000 or $20,000 part, if I buy it off Cessna, and there's a vendor out there that'll has one on the shelf and it's overhauled or there's something about it that he fixed it and it's half the price, would you mind putting that part in? It comes along with a document to show it's airworthy. Most cases it's the FAA 8130 form, but would it be okay with you to put that part in? Because this might change your mind if you talk ahead of time to maintenance or the director of maintenance of the shop, and this might change your mind on where you're going to bring your airplane to get it maintained or repaired. So that's one thing about parts. The other thing is the amount of time you have in that hangar. And so a lot of times, if you have your particular part sent away either to get fixed or overhauled, it's a lot more reasonable than them grabbing a part off the shelf and giving it to you to exchange it on the spot. And so it depends on your schedule. Now the shop, you know, they want to get the work done. They don't want the airplane in the hangar an extra couple of days. So a lot of times they will go with a quick exchange of parts, which usually costs more. So you need to think about your schedule, the shop schedule, and talk to the maintenance people about that, about how you're going to handle the repair of parts. Well, I hope this is something new to you. If you've been out there a while and own a lot of turboprops or jets, you probably ran across this before.
Well, Don, that's another great inside tip on how to save money, this time with aircraft maintenance and spare parts. Really appreciate it. And, you know, we covered such a wide range of topics today with Jet Aircraft and had a great interview with Tom. And I just want to say thanks again to Tom for taking the time to speak with us. And I know I've been learning a heck of a lot today, and I hope all of you guys have as well. I think this is a good place to wrap up for the day. So, Don, can you tell us what we're going to be doing next week?
Well, listeners, thanks for tuning in again. We hope you enjoyed our podcast. Now, next week, yep, we're going to have a real exciting episode, getting back to airplane single-engine land again. And we got Max Trescott, yeah, a famous flight instructor and author, and he wrote the book on glass cockpit airplanes. So tune us in next week, and we really appreciate Tom Wachowski on the Private Jet Podcast for tipping us off on this Falcon 2000 series aircraft. And so, listeners, don't forget to check out our show notes and go to our website, airplanepreride.com, and there's a little crossbar is up in the top right-hand corner. Click on that, and you'll see many of the things we're talking about and all the videos for this episode. So till next week, have a good week.
That's right, Don, and thanks again to Tom, and definitely looking forward to our interview next week with Max. That should be really fun as well. And by the way, airplanepreby.com is our website, but if you want to go straight to the podcast page, you can go to airplaneintelpodcast.com. It's the same website, they just take you to different places. And what Don's talking about in the top right, if you're on a mobile device, the navigation bar for the website pages is actually in the top right in the little square in the corner there, and that can take you to the various pages. So I just wanted to give you a heads up on that. And also, if there's an aircraft that you'd like us to cover, or a topic that you'd like to hear, or you want to be a guest on the show, or if there's any other way that we can help you, please send us an email to feedback@airplaneintelpodcast.com. So with that, that covers it for us today. We really, really appreciate you being here with us, and I hope that you can be here with us next week as well. And have a great rest of the week. Stay safe, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Airplane Intel Podcast. If you like what you just heard, we hope that you'll subscribe to the show and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter by searching Pre-Buy Guys. To access show notes, archives, and other free resources, head on over to airplaneintelpodcast.com. To get answers to your questions, drop us a line on social media or send an email to feedback@airplaneintelpodcast.com. You can also reach us by phone at 904-290-3870. And remember, owning an airplane doesn't have to be hazardous to your wealth.